At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Meet.
Hey, BT.
What are we fighting over today, man?
We've got some baseball slash soccer tickets.
Pray tell, because I'd like to see that hybrid sport.
We're calling all soccer fans. Soccer Night returns to Busch Stadium Wednesday, June 26th. Fans purchasing the special theme ticket will receive an exclusive long sleeve Cardinals soccer jersey, and you can get your Soccer Night tickets at cardinals.com/theme.
All right. So, I mean, it's still a baseball game.
Yeah, but you throw the soccer.
But there are lots of soccer fans here, too. I love the correlation here. I'm digging it. Maybe our returning fighter will dig it as well. Aaron, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're all right. Look, as we talked on Friday, the weekend didn't go as planned, but, heck, we got another shot at it, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why there's seven games.
That's it. Exactly. All right. You ready to take on Randy today?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. Question number one. With an assist yesterday, Alex Pietrangelo now has 15 assists in this year's playoffs. Who is the only other Blue with 15 assists in a single postseason? Is it Adam Oates, Bernie Federko, or Doug Gilmore?
Gilmore.
All right. Who is question number two? Who is the only non-pitcher included in the Cardinals trade for Marcell Ozuna? Let me try that again just so it's clear because I can't read. Who is the only non-pitcher included in the Cardinals trade for Marcell Ozuna? Was it Magnera Sierra, Oscar Mercado, or Luke Voit?
Sierra.
Question number three, Aaron. Tony Parker announced his retirement from the NBA after 18 seasons. He played 1,198 games in a Spurs uniform. Who is the only player with more? Is it David Robinson, Tim Duncan, or Manu Ginobili?
Tim Duncan.
All right, question number three. Who is the only Blue with 20 or more points in this playoffs? Is it Ryan O'Reilly, Jaden Schwartz, or Alex Pietrangelo?
O'Reilly.
All right, let's bring in Randy. Aaron, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
All right, good. Good, good, good. Now, how you feeling about Wednesday?
I'm confident.
Feels great. All right, good, as we should be.
Yeah.
Everybody should be confident at this point. Look, life is good.
I feel pretty.
As Craig Berube said, had you told us this 4 months ago, I think we'd be very excited for the opportunity to play in a Game 7.
I guess it still takes a little bit of the sting away knowing there is still time, that it's not over, that there is one more game, but everybody was just sort of expecting it to happen yesterday.
I got a feeling everybody will be just fine when it happens Wednesday. A
couple of days to recover, so that's good.
You get two parties.
Yeah.
Good for you. Hey, Randy, say hi to Aaron.
Aaron, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you, Randy?
I'm doing great, thanks. Appreciate you listening. Thanks for playing.
You ready for this today, Randy?
Ready, sir.
All right, here we go. Question number one. With an assist yesterday, Alex Pietrangelo now has 15 assists in this year's playoffs. Who's the only other Blue with 15 assists in a single postseason?
I would say probably you're looking at that 86. I think we had something similar. I'll go with Killer, Dougie Gilmore.
All right, question number two. Who was the only non-pitcher included in the Cardinals trade for Marcell Ozuna?
So that was Sandy Alcantara, Zach Gallen, and the non-pitcher was Mag Sierra, and then there was another pitcher, too. Magnoria Sierra.
Question number three, Randy. Tony Parker announced his retirement after 18 seasons in the NBA. He had 1,198 games in a Spurs uniform. Who's the only player with more?
Tim Duncan.
And question number four, who is the only Blue with 20 or more points in this playoff?
Let's see. Well, Schwartzy is not the guy. Petro's not the guy. I'll go with Vladdy.
We've got a winner. Aaron, you got him, man. Congratulations. 3-2. It is Bernie Federko is the only other blue with 15 assists in a single postseason. Petro's got 15 right now. Magnus Sierra was the only non-pitcher included in the Cardinals trade for Marcelo Zuna. It is, in fact, Tim Duncan is the only player with more games played for the Spurs than Tony Parker, who announced his retirement after 18 years. And it is, in fact, Ryan O'Reilly, who is the blue with more than 20 points in these playoffs. He's got 21 of them. So, Aaron, congrats, man. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
Aaron with us on 101 ESPN, where we want to hear from you with the mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app. Are you on that Blues panic bus heading into Game 7?
Oh.
You panicking? What are you thinking?
I don't know.
I would love to hear some stories about the highs and lows yesterday. Honestly, yeah. If you went to the game, you were all pumped up. Maybe you spent a ton of money on a ticket, or maybe you stayed in traffic forever to get to the party. Paint us the scene, man. What was it all about, and are you freaking out?
Yeah. By the way, Ronj, have you wound up with tickets yet for the watch party?
No, it kicked me out twice.
Those are those tickets are going like hotcakes.
I believe they're already gone.
All of them?
I think so, because now that I've so I got through twice. I put in my whatever, and then it would give me this message that said, oh, you need to do this from a different device.
What do you mean?
What's like wrong a laptop. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with this one? I'm on one. It works.
Does that have you on the panic bus?
Oh, I'm furious right now. Speechless, I have to say.
410, your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler, and we'll hear from you later in the show. With your mic drops, are you on the Blues panic bus? Next up, it's been a rough go for Cardinal pitchers so far this season. We're going to talk about that and more with the Cardinal right-hander Miles Michaelis next on 101 ESPN. Welcome back to the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Cardinal World Series champ Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. I'm Randy Carricker, and we head to the Braun and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Cardinal right-hander Miles Michaelis joining us on behalf of the Big League Impact Foundation. You can learn more at bigleagueimpact.org. Miles, great to have you with us. How are you today?
I'm good. You know, we had a little bit of a late night last night. Got into Miami late, but, you know, nice down here, you know, sunny South Florida, kind of back at home, so I'm doing good.
Right. I do want to know, was there a theme to this road trip? I mean, Miami Vice has been done. Did you guys theme it up at all?
No. I think everyone's mind is a little too busy on, just trying to get things rolling as opposed to what we're wearing these days.
I heard that. Now, it is kind of crazy. When you look at this season, we look at the group of guys, man, it is very fair to say that we have not seen the best Cardinal baseball yet. Is that true?
No, I think we've seen flashes and glimpses of it. But like with any new team and any, you know, new additions and, you know, kind of new things going on, it's just taking us a little bit longer than everyone had hoped to kind of gel and get going. But, you know, with those flashes of great baseball in there, I mean, it gives everybody hope. I mean, once we start rolling, I think we're going to roll through a lot of people real quick.
Within the clubhouse, you're trying to keep sort of an even keel feeling, aren't you? Is that difficult to do when it's kind of up and down?
Yeah, you know, it's always a challenge when you're having your ups and downs to kind of keep your nose to the grindstone. You know, you just want to, you know, keep that routine every day. Don't let the outside noise bother you, and, you know, focus on one thing every day. You know, today's the most important game of the season, and tomorrow will be the most important game of the season.
Miles Michaelis and his wife Lauren are trying to help victims of sex trafficking at bigleagueimpact.org. And Miles, it's amazing how massive this problem is. I think if you don't pay attention to it, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But sex trafficking in our country is a huge problem.
Yeah, it's something that I guess maybe a lot of people just kind of turn a blind ear to. You know, it's such a terrible thing. No one wants to think that it happens, and, you know, in such a developed, you know, well-off, economically, you know, gifted country, so to speak, you would think that kind of thing is, you know, has been long since eradicated, but, you know, still a very big problem in the United States today.
Miles, how did this come upon you and your wife's hearts? I mean, how did you know that this was the right thing that you wanted to help out?
Last spring training, Wainwright, you know, is gracious enough to have this Big League Impact Foundation, and he had a bunch of guys over to his house, and, you know, they have kind of a bunch of pamphlets on different things you could do, and my wife and I were there, and, you know, I always want to, you know, she's she's incredibly smart and so wonderful. So I went right to her for advice, and I said, you know, well, what should we do? What are we passionate about? And, you know, we just had our first daughter about a year before, you know, pregnant again with the twins, and it's just something, you know, so terrible to think, you know, when you think, like, what's the worst thing, you know, that we could imagine happening to our kids? I mean, that it would just be so terrible. So that's something that we want to make sure never happens to anyone's kids.
And if you go to bigleagueimpact.org and scroll down to Miles Michaelis' name and make a donation, you can remodel the refuge home for victims of sex trafficking. It's at bigleagueimpact.org. Miles, you mentioned that you're in Miami. You're close to home. What are your favorite road cities when you travel away from St. Louis? What are the best places to go?
You know, I think this is a really good road trip for me. You know, Chicago's close. I've got some family there. The weather was nice. Even in summer, it can be a little cooler. Love coming home to Miami. Everyone loves going to New York. I like those West Coast trips. San Diego's beautiful. We go to San Francisco in the middle of the summer, and it's 70 degrees. That's a huge relief. Colorado, Seattle. I like to get away. I like the scenery. Give me some mountains. You know, give me the West Coast. Some cooler weather, hopefully. Those would be my favorite cities.
Pretty much everything out of the Central Division.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, Pittsburgh is a beautiful ballpark. You know, Pittsburgh's a nice city. Chicago's nice. But, you know, I think it's the repetition. You go to those places all the time, and, you know, they're not huge cities with a whole lot to do. There's a lot to do in any city if you go out there and look for, you know, there's things to do here and there in every city, but you know, when you go to the same cities over and over again, you kind of run out of new things to do. But places like Miami, New York, Los Angeles, San Diego, I think it's tough to run out of, you know, a extra museum to see or get a chance to, you know, relax and sit by the water or something I really like to do.
And we're talking about the teams in the Central Division, and we've been talking about it all year and even before the season started, how difficult this division is going to be for everybody, because you just don't have that team that you feel like you can pretty much walk all over. You've gone to Chicago, you get swept there, they come here, you sweep them here. It's just kind of, it's already sort of like a heavyweight bout, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, everyone's throwing haymakers out there. It's a bit of a weird division, because you look at the records and, you know, it's, you know, this far in the season, it's still pretty tight. It's got to be one of the tightest divisions out there, and I think it speaks volumes to all the talent. You know, other divisions, you know, sometimes they all beat up on the same team, or, you know, they're beating up on other divisions, and here we are in the Central, just kind of, you know, everyone's got a great team here, and we're just kind of, you know, everyone's watching as we kind of beat up on ourselves. So whoever comes out of this division, you know, going to be the Cardinals, you know, we're going to be battle-tested.
It's going to be a battle for sure. Now, it is interesting on this road trip, because you go from Chicago, and you've had a great taste of this the last couple of years. Cardinals, Cubs, how incredibly intense that rivalry is. People show up early, they stay late, the place is nuts. Then go to Miami, where it's maybe not as nuts. There's not too many people there, not so much fandom. There's a serious question here with this. How do you, and this is as a group, and maybe it's a little bit different for you, because, I mean, you're not in there every single day, but as a team, that's kind of difficult, isn't it, to go from the highs of having the crowd to, hey, we just have to, this game matters, we got to be able to get up for it.
Well, you know, I think it then goes to each player on an individual basis, and that locker room feel that when we're, you know, when we step on that field and we get out there to play a ball game, that we're giving everything we got, you know, focused every pitch. And a lot of that comes into, you know, guys like me that aren't playing all the time to kind of stay in the game and stay in the dugout, keep the chatter up. You know, if the fans aren't yelling loud, then, you know, then it's up to the dugout to provide some of that noise.
Is it disappointing when you're on the road and Marlins man isn't there?
He's the least of our concern.
Well, he was here yesterday, so that was great.
Miles Michaelis with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. You got hit by a batted ball on Friday. How are you feeling?
I feel really good. I think I absorbed the energy successfully. And, you know, just a little bruise. You can still kind of see the seams, but, you know, somewhat incredibly, if you ask me, there's There's no black and blue mark whatsoever.
Wow. Is the ball juiced, Miles? It seems like it's flying over the fences and flying off the bat faster than ever.
You know, I'd have to look at a lot of scientific data to give you a good reason, you know, but if the balls were juiced the other day, I think I absorbed some of that juice, you know, with the impact there. And, you know, maybe if I can, you know, release some of that onto a ball that I hit, maybe that would be nice.
Well, we got a chance to see one of those in spring training with a nice little shimmy that you had earlier this year. So maybe we'll get a chance to do that again. And by the way, the fact that you bounced right afterwards and made the play, that is not lost, because, I mean, that's the biggest thing right there. Miles, we're doing this week at 101 ESPN, we're doing, it's Dad's Week, right? Father's Day is on Sunday, and we're saluting all the dads out there. You mentioned you got three kids, had twins last year. Being a dad for you, how has that changed your life? I mean, to me, it was the biggest change ever. For you, you travel, you got your family with you. How has just being a dad changed things for you?
It really makes me appreciate the homestands a whole lot more, and it makes me appreciate the extra sleep on the road even that much more. You know, the first thing I'd want to say about my experience as a father is you know, what I do still pales in comparison to what my wife does on a daily basis. But, you know, just always being conscious of, you know, the decisions that I make and how they will impact my family, and, you know, trying to do the best in that regards. And, you know, it does make things tough. I mean, we've got, you know, a real smart 2-year-old who understands that I'm leaving, and she gets real sad, and it makes leaving pretty tough. You know, no one wants to leave a crying young kid who says, you know, don't leave, just, you know, we can go play with my toys some more. You don't have to go. And it, you know, kind of pulls at your heartstrings a bit.
Yeah, that's got to be a real – I never even thought of it in those terms, like how difficult that must be. And she's lobbying for you to stay at the house, and you're like, I have to go to work. There's nothing I can do about this. So what do you do in those moments? How do you try and make that easier?
You know, we try a few different things. You know, we let her know that I'm going to come back, and, you know, maybe I tell her that I'm going to go, you know, I'll bring her a gift home to try to make that easier. But you can't bring a gift home every trip. You can't start that cycle. You know, but, you know, she's also 2, so you keep her busy, and sometimes she kind of, maybe she doesn't realize that I'm sliding out for the road trip, but she'll notice in the next day or two. You know, she'll ask Lauren, you know, where I am, and, you know, she'll say that she misses me, and, you know, they all miss me back there, so that's real tough. But with the FaceTime and everything now, and getting a chance to communicate that way really does help. I think, you know, I couldn't imagine what it would be like years and years ago when you would leave your family and you had to, you know, find a payphone for a couple minutes of chit chat here and there, and then, you know, to not have the technology that we have today.
You should try a pony. I think a pony would work.
Oh, yeah.
She would, you know, love that.
We've already got some deer hanging out in our backyard in St. Louis. I don't think we need to throw any other large mammals in the backyard at this point.
A couple more quick things for Miles Michaelis. First of all, when we had Harrison Bader on, he was insistent that he has the best hair, the best mane on the Cardinals. Are you willing to concede that?
You know, at this point in time, I don't know if the argument's worth my energy. Like I said, I'm busy at home with the kids. If I had more time to primp and prep and product, you know, I think it'd be real, real close, maybe even lean towards me a little bit. But, you know, his hair has his full attention right now, and, you know, he keeps it looking real nice.
He sure does. And, Miles, one thing about the Big League Impact thing that you're doing for sex trafficking and helping the victims of sex trafficking, there's a big event that Big League Impact is going to have out at Top Golf on July 10th. If somebody will scroll down to your name and make a donation in your name, they can participate. And I got the date wrong?
July 14th.
July 14th. My bad. July 14th. They can enter into a drawing to get out there to Top Golf with you guys free.
Yeah, you know, I think that's going to be a real fun event. We've got some tremendous golfers on the team, and I know it's going to be a pretty fun, relaxed event. You know, and it'd be fun to have someone, you know, some Cardinals fans out there, you know, swinging their wrenches with me. I can hit the driver a pretty long ways, so, you know, if anyone wants to come out there and try to give me a run for my money, you know, that's their chance. This Topgolf event will be their chance, and it'll be a great chance to meet and greet some fans and, you know, raise money for a great cause. We were able to, with the money I raised last year, we were able to redo a couple rooms over there at the at the Crisis Aid Center in St. Louis, and we're trying to redo more and, you know, hopefully even, you know, expand their capacity, get some more beds in there so we can start helping some more people.
Appreciate what you do and what you're doing, Miles. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. Hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Well, thank you so much.
Miles Michaelis, Cardinal right-hander, joining us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Next up, we want to hear from you. Is that panic bus warmed up? Are you rolling down the road with the Blues panic bus? Leave us a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app. You are next on 101 ESPN. The Blues Game 7 watch party on Wednesday night at Enterprise Center sold out in 20 minutes. Sold 15,000 seats in 20 minutes online.
Maybe that was that error that kept popping up on your phone was is broken now.
Well, it's interesting. It didn't say, we're sold out. It said, you need to try from a different device. I'm like, what's wrong with my work desktop? Does this not work? Is this not okay?
Yeah, it's not a good device.
All right, well.
It's for all those things you've been Googling.
Apparently, similar people have gotten, a similar message. I don't think folks are happy right now, which I understand. If something gets sold out very quickly, you're going to be.
15,000 are happy.
Those, unless they're all bots. Then they don't have emotion, you know, like the secondary market bots.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. That's how they get them.
A real jerk.
And I know, weren't the Blues telling people, please don't buy these seats from the secondary market during Game 6?
Yeah.
For Game 5?
Yeah. So there they are. Hey, we want to hear from you with the mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app. Are you on that panic bus? Let's hear from Paul.
I am not too nervous about the game Wednesday night. I mean, we got a hit. We didn't hit this past game, but hey, what are they going to suspend us at the beginning of next year? Who cares? Go out and hit. Just make it smart. Don't get penalties. And just hit hard like we have been.
It's a good idea.
Suspended
for next year.
Yeah, well, that's fine and all. As long as that hit that suspends you for next year is just like a no call somewhere and they just go back and look at it the next game. Or afterwards, he shouldn't have done that. He's going to be out later as they celebrate the Stanley Cup and raise the banner. That'll be fine. I'm fine with that. That is one thing that the Blues can't do, and they won't do, and they haven't done, is play tentative. It's like, oh, okay, well, we've been put in the box a lot. No, you still got to play fast. You got to play physical. You got to put the hits on people, just maybe not when their back's turned to you.
Exactly. Definitely. I think you would have learned that by now, right?
Yeah. Easier said than done.
I have spent the majority of the day at least checking Twitter and rechecking Twitter to see if NHL player safety is going to have another hearing because,
pops up randomly.
Hey, we're going to look into the Braden Schenn hit now. Oh, cool. Are you?
Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
What did he do? I hit a fan.
Something.
When he threw that puck out.
Hey, what about Marchand? Nah, he's cool. Everything he does is fine. Take out a guy at the knees,
whatever.
That's just
how his leg goes.
Yeah. Take out Tarasenko at the knees on purpose, and then, was it a Petrangelo?
Yeah, he got Petro. Pretty good with a leg whip.
That's fine,
though. I would guess, though, that as we move on here, there won't be much of that because you don't want to spend any time. Well, if you're Boston, does it really matter if you spend any time in the box? I guess not.
Well, yeah, I mean, for them, it's fine. They can get away with stuff.
Brandon is next with his mic drop.
I'm not on the panic bus. No good comeback story ends in Game 6. They're going to go to Boston. It's going to be a 1-0 game going into the third, just like it was this last time. The Blues are going to come back, win 3-1. Binnington's going to be lights out. O'Reilly's going to score the third goal. It's going to be beautiful.
Okay, I'll take
that. I love that. I love that. As cool as, and this is all hindsight because it just didn't happen, as cool as it would have been, to see them win Game 6 and just hear Enterprise explode and to see all the joy, I'm pretty fine. I'm very okay with just having quiet and sadness over an entire place at the Garden.
And it being so quiet, one of the best things about that is watching your team do it on the road and the place is silent, but you can hear your players celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear the hollering on the ice whenever they do it away. So I think that'll be a really cool thing to have happen.
Here's Eric with his mic drop.
Randy, Brad, Ronge. I'm not on a panic bus. I'm on a Randy Carricker bus. I never thought I'd see a Stanley Cup playoff game in St. Louis, not alone a Game 7. beginning of the year, I didn't even think we'd even see a playoff game. So I'm going to sit back, relax, enjoy some beers, and enjoy it.
There you go.
Yeah. That being said, even you, Randy, I'd have to believe we'll look back if they don't win this with big-time disappointment.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you still got to win it. You still got to cap it off for it to be extra special. Because we passed that point of happy to be here.
Especially, I'm 100% with you on that.
Especially when you're up 3-2. You're up 3-2 and you have game six with a chance.
You got to seal the deal.
Two chances to clinch, like the Texas Rangers did, and you don't, then it hurts.
Because they're the cautionary tale for it. They had a good team, never got back there again. And I would like to think the Blues will eventually get back there, hopefully sooner than later. But this could be it for a very long time, and I think we know that all too well here.
Look at where the Vancouver Canucks are. They lost to Boston in 2011. You look at where Nashville is with a 36-year-old Pecorine. Look at where the Rangers are. They lost to the Kings 5 years ago. So there are a lot of instances where teams have been one and done, one trip to the finals and never bounced back.
Look, if you want to take it as a consolation, the fact they got here and pushed to a game seven, I think you're go ahead and do that. But if you are extremely disappointed and never are able to feel that kind of joy about it, that's fine too. Because, look, you've lived your entire life and have not seen the Blues win the whole thing. Everybody has lived their entire lives without seeing it. You just want to see it one time.
Let's hear how Ryan's doing on 101 ESPN.
The panic bus is in the garage. I took the battery out of it. You can't turn it on. It's off. Doesn't matter what the Blues do. Now, the fact that they made it this far, this is a hockey town now.
Well, it's always been a good hockey town.
It's always been pretty good, yeah, but I'm fine with that. Look, there really is, at this point, there's no reason to panic. You can have some nerves going into it. You can have plenty of excitement, and those two emotions probably blend together quite well, but you're in the coolest, most awesome game that you're in the biggest game that the franchise has ever played.
Do you know what I'm happy about? The fact that if they were going to lose game six, they kind of got blown out, as opposed to it being a heartbreaker. And I know they've overcome the heartbreak of hand pass, so they were able to get past that. The thing is, a lot of teams can't. When something dramatic and terrible happens at the very end of the game and you lose an absolute gut punch of a game, it is sometimes hard to come back in game seven and win game seven. Look at the Cardinals in 85. Look at what happened with the Cubs in 03 after the Bartman incident. When something is taken away from you and it's out of your control or just an absolutely devastating loss, it is sometimes difficult to bounce back the following game, even though you do still have an opportunity to win the whole thing. I'm just glad that game six, if they're going to lose it, that they lost considerably.
Curtis is next on 101 ESPN.
Panic bus game seven. Get out of here with panic bus game seven. The only way you panic bus on game seven is you had a 3-0 lead and you dropped three in a row. No need to panic. It's game seven. It's what you live for as a sports fan. Just go out there and get that cup. Go Blues.
And that's along the same lines what I'm talking about. If you are up 3-0 and you give up three straight losses in a row, you're probably got that tight sphincter going. Like, oh my God, how do we allow this team to stay in this? How do we not close this out? At least with what happened yesterday, you could say screw it and move on. And you've got 48 plus hours to get ready for the next one.
It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Hey, doesn't a Wednesday seem like an awful day to have a game seven?
Yeah, it does.
It's like, oh, hump day. Game seven, biggest game ever. Everybody's going to be watching it. And once again, win or lose, if you're an employer and your people are not productive on Thursday, give them a break.
Yeah.
Give them a break. And actually, they're going to be sick, too.
Jeremy Rutherford just tweeted from the Blues media availability before they took off for Boston that Craig Berube said he wants to see more physicality. He says some players might have held back because of the possibility of suspension. He credited the Bruins for boxing out well, but said the Blues have to find a way to get inside more. And that goes back to what our mic dropper said. Don't worry about it because you can only get suspended for next season now.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Hey, with impunity.
You might as well. I mean, you want to stay out of the penalty box because we see what happens when they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. I can deal with penalties. I can deal with going on the kill. But let's not do a 5-on-3 thing.
Yeah,
if we
can
at least
stay
away from the 5-on-3, I think we're going to be relatively okay.
Speaking of our Blues insider from The Athletic, Jeremy Rutherford, he joins us next year in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We'll have another mic drop segment later in the show. We want to know how your dad impacted your Blues fandom. What special moments that you had with your dad while cheering on the Blues? Tell us how the Blues have made your relationship with your dad special by leaving a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app. We want to hear from you later on in the show. Right
or
now,
your kids, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah, kids, yeah,
could
too.
Be the other way.
Good idea. Or, yeah, if you have little kids,
yeah,
put them on the phone.
Oh, sure. What happened?
Nothing. I was taking a drink, and for some reason, that really got me.
Jeremy Rutherford, sure, our Blues insider from The Athletic, is with us on 101 ESPN on the heels of the Blues media gathering before they took off for Boston. JR, how you doing?
Doing really well. You guys okay?
Everything's good. Ronja had a little spit take there, but we're good.
Yep, we're good.
Hey, can I give you a little bit of a mic drop here?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd just like to say, thank you to my dad. He's been there every step of the way of my writing career. And, as I wrote the other day at The Athletic, didn't play hockey growing up, but I had a guy in my corner, my dad, who said, you'll do a good job with this. And whether it be after every hit on the radio or after every article, he's there to tell me a terrific job. So I just want to tell him thanks for that.
That's very nice.
That's awesome. Yep. And JR, I bet you got a lot of kind of similar stories, or at least feel as you were walking around, because I know you were around Enterprise, seeing all the people, all of the families, and we'll get into what happened in the game in a moment. But how cool was that? How cool was the atmosphere yesterday?
It was like I've never seen before. And, there have been big Blues games in the past, but obviously we can, skip through what yesterday meant. I don't need to tell you that. But just to walk through downtown, see the jerseys, perfect weather. I mean, you really couldn't have scripted it any better. And I think that's where the disappointment comes. Obviously, everybody wanted to see the team hoist the cup last night. But when you just think about the way it all broke for the team, a chance to win it at home, a chance for everybody to be together, beautiful weather. They come out of Enterprise Center, and you were able to stay down there hours on end. Probably a lot of people took off work on Monday. Just everything was geared up for that to happen last night, and then when it didn't, just such a huge letdown. But I thought St. Louis represented very, very well yesterday, guys. And, I know that they were disappointed with the outcome, but there's still one more opportunity Wednesday night.
We talked to Joey Vitale. I've heard other guys talking about it, too, that can be, because of all the expectation of that particular game and, worrying about what happens afterwards and getting tickets for people because you're at home and all the things you have to worry about in a situation like that, that it can kind of take your focus and attention away from the actual hockey. Do you think that had much to do with the way they played last night?
I think yes, to some degree. I really do. And I heard Joey, and I agree with him. I think that there was a lot going on yesterday. I think in the players' minds they had that they were going to be out with family all night. That's not to, say that they had ill thoughts or anything like that. They were excited about the possibility of what they were going to be able to accomplish. That said, I said it earlier today on the station, I think that there's less pressure going into tomorrow's game than there was game six. I mean, you had 18,000 screaming people on top of you, counting on you to deliver yesterday. And in addition to everything that you just said, Chris, the tickets, the family members that were in, so on and so forth. You know what they did just now? They just got on a plane. Each of them had one bag. They're going up there to do one thing, and that's to win the Stanley Cup. They're not thinking about the rest of that stuff. So they've been a really good road team. I know you can't bank on that. You still have to play the game, and we can get into what Craig Berube said here in a minute. But I just think that the sole focus tomorrow night, Wednesday night, I should say, is to go play a hockey game. Whereas yesterday, it just seemed like there was a lot of hoopla surrounding the day.
JR, what was the theme today as the Blues spoke to the media?
Yeah, a couple things, and you read my tweet. He wants more physicality. He thinks they let up a little bit. Craig Berube felt like maybe the possibility of a suspension weighed on these guys. I think the Blues, if I read right, the only team to have two players suspended in a Stanley Cup final ever, when you talk about Barbashev and Sundqvist. Brayden Schenn had that hit that was not a good hit. Craig Berube said today that's a penalty for sure, and that swung the game early on. They were playing pretty well, and then the back-to-back penalties. So, one player was playing physical, too physical. but I think they need to be, the team that they've been the entire postseason, that's the team that beat San Jose. That's the team that beat Dallas. You play teams hard, and that's what they need to do to Boston Wednesday night. The other thing is, it doesn't matter what they do. If they don't beat Tuukka Rask, they're not going to win the hockey game. And he has been terrific. He was yesterday. And the thing is, they're going to have to get inside. And I know that's a little bit cliche, but if we could be a little more specific here, is they need to take shots with the thought of rebounds occurring. Because we saw that in Game 4, Petrangelo, two shots, O'Reilly and Tarasenko bang them home. If you're going to beat Tuukka Rask, that's going to be one of the ways. So I think that Craig Berube, he pointed out that, yeah, shooting for rebounds is going to be a key Wednesday night.
To clarify, what you're saying is the Braden Schenn player safety hearing is tomorrow, right?
It probably is, yeah.
Yeah.
I like your guys' thought, though. I heard you, hey, you can't get suspended for Game 8, right?
Well, you get suspended for the beginning of next season, but who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, right.
JR, not that it's, can't expect anything crazy to happen within 2 days. It's been a talking point throughout the playoffs. It's been a talking point throughout the season. But do you think that there is anything on the power play? And maybe it just goes right back to your last point of just putting more shots on, trying to get some rebounds. But they got to clean that up a little bit. 1-for-18 in this series, man, that has been the difference.
Yeah, for sure. And Craig Berube just said that they did make some adjustments going into Game 6 on the power play, and he felt like that's what led to more shots. They did have 12 of their 29 shots. Almost half their shots did come on the four power plays, 0-for-4, as you mentioned, 1-for-18. I didn't see any adjustments. I know that over the course of the playoffs they've moved some personnel around. But listen, like he said, it doesn't matter how many shots you have on the power play. If none of them go in, then it doesn't matter. So, we don't want to be talking next week about how the Blues had 15 shots on the power play in Game 7, if they lost the game 3-1. So they just have to execute. And Craig Berube, if you guys see the tape, he mentioned the word execute 15 times in a couple-minute interview. So that's his thing, is they've got everything. They feel like they've got the personnel. They've got the strategy. They've got everything. They just have to execute. It's easier said than done, but that's what time of year it is.
When you watch their power play, JR, their passing isn't always crisp, and I think that that's kind of been the case pretty much all season long. But I wonder if it's more of a team-wide thing, and I also recognize that I'm paying closer attention to what they are doing more so than what other teams are doing, but there do appear to me to be a lot of times where a pass is just a little behind, or it's at the feet, or it just gets under a blade. It always seems like something is just out of reach for them. As you watch them, does that seem like a greater problem for them than maybe some other teams?
Yeah, no, I don't know about comparable to other teams, but it is a problem for sure, Ranj. Yesterday, whether it be, and I'll get back to the power play, but power play or 5-on-5, I felt like there were a lot of passes that were off and, not on the stick. And, that little half second that it takes a player to regroup receiving the pass, it takes away the speed. It takes away what that player's trying to do. And that's when players talk about being out of sync and disconnected. That's what they're talking about. So to me, that's definitely a problem on the power play. If the passes and the plays were crisper, then you could see them pounce on pucks and maybe get one-timers off, so on and so forth. But to me, the power play is just a little bit too predictable. As we sit up in the press box, okay, well, we know it's going to here. Okay, now he's going to go over there. Now he's going to come back here. Oh, they might get a shot off here. And that's it. Like, you watch a San Jose or you watch a Boston, and the puck is just zigzagging across the ice, and you don't know who it's going to next, and it's right on the tape, and now it's in the back of the net. So, to me, it's too bland, too boring. I don't know if it's the players that just don't feel like they're going to execute and score, so therefore they just move the puck around. I don't know, but to me, it's too predictable.
What did you think of Jordan Binnington last night, and especially his reaction to the game?
I like Jordan Binnington. He's been terrific. I get it that he has a schtick after the game, a personality. It's funny. We see it on the T-shirts. Do I look nervous? I have spoken to a ton of goaltenders who do not like the question, hey, tell us about the second goal. Tell us about the third goal. I get it. We get it. But, that second goal was tough, and I know that it bounced, but he kind of fired back at the reporter, did you see it bounce? And he said, yep. I said, good eyes, and then turn and look the other way. So however you want to take it, I know some people that hear that for the first time like it, some won't like it, I don't know. To me, just say, hey, look, I didn't play well enough to help this team win. If we want to win a Stanley Cup, I'm going to have to be better, and I will be better in Game 7. And, probably that's the approach that I think I would have taken.
Well, I tell you what, and you know this, he's got to be the best guy. He's got to be the best player on the ice. Hey, not that it's happened much in this postseason. Is there a common thread when Tuukka Rask has had any struggles? Has it been all the deflections like you're talking about? I mean, what gets to that? I mean, do you have to run him every once in a while? Like, what do you have to do to get to this dude?
Yeah, paging Jeff Courtnall. they just do such a really good job in front of him. I think that's one of the underrated parts. Is like he's really good, but we just sat here and listened to Jaden Schwartz, you know, who does his best to get inside, and that's what he said is that they do a great job of clearing out that area in the front. And this is, you know, more or less besides Chara, kind of an undersized defense. So the Blues, like Craig Berube said, just have to be more physical in there. But yeah, when you see a goalie, Brad, like Tuukka Rask was yesterday, and like he's been actually throughout the entire postseason, he's a guy, side note, who could win the Conn Smythe even if the Blues win the game Wednesday night. You know, he's been that good. So you have to get at him different ways. It's not going to be on the first shot. So whether it be rebound or getting in the crease, and you know, that you saw earlier in the series, they had the interference with the goalie penalty. Maybe that's why they shied away. They had two of those early on in the series. Play and Schwartz, but to me, you know, we've seen what worked, and we saw the two Petrangelo shots on net, O'Reilly, Tarasenko, rebound, goal. To me, that's what has looked like it's going to work for you, and that's what the Blues have to do. I mean, he's going to be hard to beat. I mean, Game 7 in his own building, the way he's playing, I can't imagine what kind of challenge that is, but there are ways to beat him. He is human. The Blues are capable of scoring against him.
Talking about a game like that, JR, the ugly goals, the rebound, maybe this is part of the story as well, but doesn't this game just scream Patty Maroon?
Yeah. Well, there's a potential book out there, a book opportunity with Patty Maroon, right? So that'd be nice if he did score it.
Right? No kidding.
This guy's had such a run. You know, you even mentioned his name in an article or a headline, and people in St. Louis go nuts. So, yeah, I mean, you're talking ugly goal, and he had one against Dallas just right there in front of the net. That's the type of goals that he scores. You know, that line wasn't great yesterday to get Robbie Thomas back, but – you know, who's going to be the hero Wednesday night if there is a hero for the Blues? Who knows? But I know what you're saying there, that if you're looking for a dirty goal, he's definitely a guy who could get it for you.
Because it is the final game of the season, no matter what happens, it's kind of difficult to predict, don't you think, what they're going to do? We know what they need to do, but actually trying to figure out who's going to be the guy aside from Binnington, the guy who needs to have the best game or what line needs to produce, none of that stuff really matters because you're at the very end here, and it could be a fluke that wins the whole thing.
You know what? I'll piggyback on something I said a second ago. You don't need anybody to be the hero. You don't need a Tarasenko to score two or three goals tomorrow night. You can win the Stanley Cup, and Tuukka Rask could be the Conn Smythe winner if you win 1-0 or 2-1 tomorrow night, just playing your game, just going out there and playing how they're capable of playing, you know, with the four lines, with the defenseman, with Binnington, not being flashy, but just making the saves that he needs to make. So that's how this Blues team is built. This is how they've won all year. There has not been one guy that's run away with, you know, and been the leader of their success. Maybe a Jaden Schwartz, yeah, earlier in the playoffs, but to me, Doug Armstrong built this team with the sum of the parts being bigger than any one player. That's how they need to play. And if they do it, I do think they're capable of winning this game.
JR, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you later.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
That's Jeremy Rutherford, our Blues insider from The Athletic. Next up, the old school and new school baseball mentalities collided yesterday in San Francisco. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find, for the fun of it, kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.